This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
For this month's Ask an Astronomer, we are joined by Professor Tim O'Brien. I get the impression that Tim is one of the busiest people on the planet right now, so I'm very grateful that he's been able to join us. Charlie tells me it's been about 2 years since you were last on the Jodcast.
We did look it up. It was January 2014.
January 2014. So what have you been up to since then?
I think I got busy because I started spending half my time being an associate dean, which is a sort of administrative job in the faculty. So 50% of the time I was doing that, plus the other 150% of my time I was doing other things. So yeah, I think I fell off the Jodcast wagon.
Yeah.
But I'm getting back on, so that's good.
Okay, I've actually heard you in the media quite a lot recently, chatting about Blue Dot Festival.
Blue Dot's going to be great, I think. It's a music and science festival at Jodrell Bank at the end of July, so still tickets available if anybody's interested in buying one. If you look at discovertheBlueDot.com, you'll find all the information. But it's basically building on some things we did back in 2011 to 2013, where we had music festivals at Jodrell. So bands like Elbow and Sigur Rós and New Order and these sorts of people. And then alongside music, we had some sort of science festival as well. But what we're doing this time is running it as a full sort of camping festival over the weekend. So this year we've got Jean-Michel Jarre, if you've heard of Jean-Michel Jarre.
I absolutely have done, yeah.
So he's playing on the Saturday. We've got Underworld, who are quite an interesting electronic band, Caribou as well. Public Service Broadcasting. Got Brian Cox and Robin Ince doing a recording of their Infinite Monkey Cage. Loads of stuff. So loads of science, loads of art and technology as well as the music. So it should be great fun.
So there's no excuse really for any listeners not to go to this.
I think if you're the sort of person who listens to the Jodcast, you're the sort of person who ought to go to Blue Dot.
Excellent. So what was the website for that again?
It's discovertheBlueDot.com.
Okay.
And I should say Blue Dot in case you haven't picked it up. Is a nod to Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot.
Yes.
So the sort of the planet Earth in space as a seen from a distance as a little blue dot. So it's all basically about, you know, space and also what we do on the planet. So sort of human creativity, really, as well as science, music, art, and so on.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you for that. So let's have a look at the questions. So, as ever, we have three listener-submitted questions. Our first one is from Christoph Cranbull, who asks, what single space mission would you launch in the next 10 years if money was no constraint?
I think that was a challenging question, but I thought it was fun anyway. Having constraints is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because actually, it usually drives a bit of creativity, actually. If somebody said to you, money's no object, what would you do? Because anything's possible, it's almost impossible to decide what you want. So it's almost a good idea to have sort of a, you know, budget, and then you can achieve the maximum you can by being sort of creative. But in these terms, I guess, one of the things we'd always fancy doing, certainly speaking from a radio astronomy background, if we were thinking about, say, doing radio astronomy from space, then I think the idea of building a radio telescope on the far side of the moon would be a nice thing. So you basically block the radio interference of the Earth is blocked by the moon. It's very quiet. That's always a challenge for us in radio astronomy is all the interference we get terrestrially. Low gravity, so you could build it really big because the structure would be easy to build a large structure. No wind. That's the other problem that, you know, we have in radio astronomy is wind might blow our big telescopes down. So there's loads of reasons why you'd want to do that. I think a space-based interferometer would be good. I mean, maybe, you know, there is a plan actually to do this in the future with a sort of space-based LIGO, so the interferometer that was used to detect gravitational waves recently. Putting one of those in space would be a remarkable thing to be able to do. There's a mission at the moment that's trying to test out the technology for that called LISA Pathfinder, and I think that will happen. But if money was no object, then maybe it would happen a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Not always, because you've got to get the people to do the actual work, and just throwing more money at something doesn't obviously solve anything. Stuff to search for life, I guess. Searching for life in the solar system, maybe on Enceladus or Europa, one of these moons of the giant planets. That would be an interesting project as well, I think. So something like that, probably.
Of course, you could also add a little bit of funding for the Jodcast if money was no constraint as well.
Just a bit.
Our next question is from Russ Jenkins. Why do they always say microgravity when they talk about life on the space station? Surely there is pretty much normal gravity, not much less than 1G up there, except that it doesn't feel like that as the station is in orbit. Doesn't that mean that the perceived gravity is neutral? Probably means zero.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. You do hear people will talk about microgravity on the space station. What I wanted to do was try and do some maths on the radio, or maths on the Jodcast.
That's quite risky.
If we can attempt to do this, but it sort of might illustrate the point. So the space station's at an altitude of about 400 kilometres above the Earth's surface. The Earth's radius is almost 6,400 kilometres. So you're basically talking about the difference between something on the Earth being at 6,400 kilometres from the middle of the Earth and something like the space station being 6,800 kilometres from the middle. So there's actually not a lot of difference in terms of the gravity you feel. So in fact, you can sort of work that out. We know that the acceleration due to gravity that's felt by something that's, say, 1 kilogram mass, that's given by gm over r squared, where m is the mass of the Earth, r is the radius from the centre of the Earth. So you put in the mass of the Earth, you put in the radius of the Earth at the Earth's surface, and what you get is an acceleration due to gravity of 9.8 metres per second per second. That's the classic answer for the acceleration due to gravity. So if you drop something at the Earth's surface, that's the acceleration you get. If you put the same numbers in for the height of the space station, so the radius is slightly larger by 400 kilometres, you get 8.7 metres per second squared. So about 90% of the value at the Earth's surface. So it is a lower gravity at the height of the space station, but not by much.
Yeah.
So the question was, you know, what's microgravity, what's zero gravity? Well, although that's the pull of gravity, about 90% of what you feel at the Earth's surface while we're talking now, 90% of that is what you get in the space station. The space station's in orbit, so the space station's actually falling. If you were to sort of hold the space station still above the Earth and let go of it, it would drop down towards the Earth, of course. It would be pulled towards the centre of the Earth. If you move it sideways, it still falls, but it misses the edge of the Earth because the Earth curves around. So it continually goes round and round, missing the Earth as it falls. That's all an orbit is. So it's free fall. But that would be sort of zero gravity because it's a bit like, and I know this is a horrible thing to imagine, but it's a bit like getting in the lift and the lift cables snapping and you dropping in the lift. You'd be in free fall. So you can imagine sort of floating, it was a very high tower, floating inside this lift in the middle, and the lift and you would both be accelerating downwards at the same rate. So that's that sort of free fall. That would be zero gravity. So the question that Russ asked was, why do we not talk about zero gravity? Why do we talk about microgravity, since it's in this sort of free fall orbit? And actually, the reasons that I think, you know, they're quite interesting. One is that the space station, you know, you've seen pictures of Tim Peake or something on the space station and they're taking lovely photographs of the Earth out the window. There's windows that sort of look down at the Earth, and they stay pointing down at the Earth all the time as the space station rotates. So if you can imagine that, that actually means the space station is itself rotating at exactly the same rate at which it moves around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not sort of standing still in space as it orbits, because that would mean the windows would go from looking down at the Earth to looking directly away and then back again over one orbit. So the orbit's about 90 minutes. So actually the space station rotates with a period of about 90 minutes.